Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Cairn Homes full year 2021 preliminary results analyst and investors call, which will be hosted by Michael Stanley, Chief Executive Officer, Shane Doherty, Chief Financial Officer, and Tara Grimley, Company Secretary and Head of Sustainability. Afterwards, there will be a moderated Q&A session where we will welcome questions from anybody on the line. I will now hand the call over to Cairn's CEO, Michael Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Candice. Good morning, everybody. Thank you all for joining Cairn's 2021 preliminary results call. My name is Michael Stanley. I'm CEO of Cairn Homes, and I'm joined on the call today by my colleague and CFO, Shane Doherty, and I'm particularly pleased to be joined by Tara Grimley, our Company Secretary. Tara is also Head of Sustainability, and we'll chat a little bit later to you all and present a little bit about our sustainability agenda. Before I talk about Cairn 2021 results and 2022 outlook, I want to reflect briefly on the main news of the moment, and that's obviously Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Our thoughts are very much with the people of Ukraine at this dreadful time. As we report today, the impact of this on our business pales into insignificance when we consider the plight of our fellow Europeans. Turning to Cairn, 2021 proved to be the most successful year in our seven-year history. We sold 5,000 new homes during the year, our 5,000th new home during the year, and we plan to sell at least another 5,000 over the next three years. We are delivering high quality energy efficient homes across all tenures for different segments of the market. Despite losing approximately three months production, we managed to record record volumes in our business. Strong financial performance is a key driver of the significant reinvestment required to build and sell even a greater number of new homes into the medium term. In this regard, we are supporting 3,000 full-time positions across our 21 active sites today. We've also increased employment within our own business with 150 new people joining Cairn over the last two years. The talented people that have joined our team will enable us to double down on innovation and sustainability, both of which are integral parts of quality home building and placemaking. Notwithstanding the geopolitical impacts, the Irish economy will continue, it appears, to perform comparatively well. Many first-time buyers have been saving throughout the pandemic, and we are seeing levels of interest across our developments not experienced for quite some time. The average price of our starter home at 350,000 has stayed relatively stable for the past couple of years, and we continue to have a relative advantage in providing competitively priced new homes for Ireland's middle-income earners and families. We will see an increase in housing output in Ireland this year more broadly. It remains to be seen whether the rate of growth is sustainable, with two key factors likely to continue to present challenges. First of those is the logjam in the planning system, and secondly, mortgage accessibility. Related to this, the increased cost of delivering residential accommodation. Notwithstanding the international headwinds, we are upgrading guidance for 2022 and providing strong medium-term visibility. We are investing in our future by bringing our efficient operating model to regions outside of the GDA, supporting our ambitious growth plans. I'd like to take you now to slide three, our 2021 highlights. As I mentioned, we've had a very strong year with 1,120 closings, and as I speak to you today, we have 1,218 new homes either forward sold or closed with a net sales value of 463 million. We did have our second construction lockdown in H1 2021, and notwithstanding this, the real momentum which we saw in H2 has continued into 2022. We also saw margin progression, particularly in the second half, when we delivered a 20.3% gross margin. Cairn has played its part in responding to the significant post-health crisis demand for new homes. We have started eight new sites in the last nine months, which will deliver over 1,800 new homes. The business has had higher cash generation than previously guided, particularly in the second half of the year with over 100 million of operating cash flow. Shane will bring you through our balance sheet efficiency, our ROE growth, and what this means for shareholders later in the presentation. Slide four and the positive momentum driving our 2022 market. There's no doubt that notwithstanding the situation in Eastern Europe, the Irish economy has recovered well post the pandemic. Our impressive GDP growth rate is supported by record exchequer returns, with consumers having also saved about 23 billion. And that will be a key driver of our economy this year. And a significant portion of these savings will be directed towards the purchase of new homes. Mortgage market conditions are strengthening, with the value of mortgage drawdowns at the highest level since 2008 at 10.5 billion. And we also have a government that is trying hard to support our customers with initiatives targeting all tenures and an appropriate focus on social and affordable homes. So slide five, our journey. I want to bring you through a few things on this slide. When we see both our annual new home completions and our gross margins, the clear impact of the health crisis and the subsequent recovery is evident, with both forecasts to significantly step up this year. As you can also see from the slide, we have sold 5,500 new homes to date as a business, including 3,200 starter homes for first-time buyers. Cairn is a multi-market and multi-product builder, and we've also completed over 2,000 high-quality apartments across 11 developments, making us by a significant stretch the most active apartment builder in Ireland. As I mentioned in my introduction, we have an exceptionally talented team, and by the end of the year, we hope to have grown this team to 400 full-time employees. We will continue to build homes and create places where people love to live, and we will grow our exceptionally talented team this year by another 400 full-time people. Slide six, strong sales market and further growth in 2022. Let's talk a little bit about the current sales market. As I've already mentioned, we are witnessing significant demand. This is illustrated by the value of our current order book. At this current level, our forward order book is 1.7 times higher than the value of our current work in progress. And looking forward to this year, we expect to deliver 1,500 new home completions and generate a turnover in excess of 600 million. Importantly, over 70% of our forecasted completions for this year are already closed or agreed for sale. Operating profit is now forecast at 100 million, and this will deliver an operating margin of 16.5%. And as in 2021, we are generating significantly increased operating cash flow, which is now forecast to increase to 175 million this year. Most importantly for us, we are a business that loves interacting with our customers, and we are excited that all of our remaining spring launches will be in-person open viewings. Slide seven and the foundations for the next phase of our growth. One of our key advantages as a business is the historic low cost of our land bank and the fact that we have already brought a majority of it through the planning system. This is one of the aspects which supports our ability to deliver competitively priced homes. Today we have a land bank size of 17,700 units. This includes 5,500 units at our Clonburris development, where we lodged our first planning application for 600 homes and plan to start construction on Ireland's largest housing development later this year. Over the next 4 to 5 years, Cairn will significantly reduce the size of our land bank, and as I said, we will deliver 5,000 to 5,500 new homes in the next 3 years alone. As this land bank reduces, we will continue to be very cash generative and we will be making significant returns to our shareholders. We will also be opportunistic in the land market as we look to balance our portfolio. And we are delighted to have recently secured a new portfolio of three sites comprising 1,800 units, all of which have full or partial planning permission. And that was for a consideration of 43 million. We've commenced two of these sites already, in Leixlip Gate in Kildare and in Navan County Meath, and we plan to commence the third site in Shankill in Dublin in quarter two. These new developments will deliver an IRR in excess of our 15% hurdle rate. Slide 8 gives our investors a more detailed breakdown of the types of markets and customers that Cairn will be focused on in the years ahead, with a continued heavy bias towards starter homes, but also high-quality apartments to own and for the multifamily rental market, homes for people trading up and trading down, and a significantly increased number of social and affordable homes through partnerships and initiatives with the state. Slide 9, our business expansion and strategy going forward. We believe Cairn over the last number of years has built a strong reputation for delivering high quality homes in Dublin and surrounding counties. As we expand our business, we will bring our skills and efficient home building model to other regions in Ireland. We have commenced a large site in Cork, and this year we'll be starting new schemes in Limerick and Galway. As you can see from the table, the three largest cities in Ireland outside Dublin are very significantly undersupplied, and we look forward to delivering high energy quality homes in these areas. We strongly believe that our extremely efficient business model and capability should be used to support the development of affordable and social homes as well. We will look to further increase our partnerships with the state and leverage our scale to deliver homes for people in Ireland who will find it very difficult to purchase their own home or indeed to get access to mortgage finance. Earlier I referenced our largest project in Clonburris. This is a new town with a targeted population of 30,000 people on an existing rail network and only 13 kilometres from Dublin city centre. Clonburris is qualified for a significant investment from the Urban Renewal Development Fund, and only one of the many aspirations that we have for Ireland's largest new town is that it will be Ireland's first with a net biodiversity gain. Innovation in Cairn. It's central to everything we do in Cairn, and slide 10 provides an overview of our approach to innovation and some of the work done to date. Our 2022 look forward initiatives include things like our biodiversity gain, lean project planning and execution, green certification, and smart homes development. The challenging build cost environment on slide 11. We are certainly operating in a challenging build cost environment in Ireland. There is more uncertainty around this area now with a lot of commodities relating to building materials being sourced from Eastern Europe. So how will Cairn respond? A central procurement function will leverage a circa 1.3 billion spend across the next 3 years. Detailed category management is important, as our strategic and preferred partners that we work with very closely through our supply chain tiering. We endeavour to engage with our suppliers at the very earliest stage of our process during the design and pre-construction phase. While we absorbed circa 15,000 build cost inflation in 2021 per new home, we expect that there will be an additional 10,000 in 2022. This will continue to be a key watch-out area for us, particularly with the ongoing situation in Ukraine. It is important to remind you that Ireland is well served by Indigenous suppliers, and Cairn has developed a highly skilled team of subcontractors who will support our ambitious growth plans. I'm now going to hand you over to Shane to bring you through our financials and talk to you a little bit about also our guidance and numbers going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael, and good morning, everyone. I will now take a few minutes to speak to you around our 2021 financial results and future guidance. Before I do that, it's worth reminding ourselves of some of the key underpins of value creation for our shareholders that Cairn delivered in 2021. A key focus is on significant profit generation, driving even greater cash generation, which of course drives return on equity growth and cash returns for our shareholders. Slide 13 sets out an overview of our financial performance for 2021 in more detail. Growth in operating profit to 58.4 demonstrates the underlying strength and resilience of our business. We had a strong finish to 2021 with sales of 1,120 units and revenue of 424 million. Gross margin for the second half of the year showed continued growth to close at 20.3% for the second half. Our operating cash flow of 132 million was 2.3 times the operating profit level of 58.4 million. This provided a platform to return 115 million to our shareholders through dividends of 40 million, including today's proposed final dividend of 2.8 cents per share and our share buyback program of 75 million, which commenced in January of this year. As previously noted, we have continued to invest in operating expenditure and innovating our platforms across a number of key disciplines, including construction, IT, and health and safety. Michael and Tara will give more detail on this in the sustainability section of the presentation. We expect that operating costs as a percentage of revenue will continue to reduce significantly over the course of 2022, top-line growth combined with well-considered investment and operating expenditure will drive operating leverage expansion. Our strong profit growth is again underpinned by a particularly strong balance sheet position. As at the end of 31 December 2021, we had a net asset value per share of 104 cents, with a considerable land bank underpin of more than 670 million, the vast bulk of which was acquired very competitively in 2015 and 2016. It's our view that further margin growth, coupled with a substantial forward order book and our house building and apartment build capability, all make for a very compelling valuation thesis for Cairn Homes. Turning then to slide 14, our blended gross average selling price for the year of 428,000 was an increase of over 51,000 over 2020. This was almost exclusively mixed driven. As Michael has said earlier, a critical KPI for us is the average selling price across our starter homes. This increased by just 0.6% to €350,000, including VAT. We continue to provide high-quality A-rated starter homes to a large pool of buyers in excellent locations of proven demand. Our ASP in the trade-up, trade-down segment is just 0.7% higher than 2020 at €493,000. The ASP increase in apartments was down to the impact of Griffith Wood in our numbers in 2021. This was a contracted multifamily sale. Our forward sales pipeline of more than 1,200 units has a net sales value of more than 460 million. Nearly 1,100 of these units are 2022 sales with a net sales value of approximately 410 million. Our balance sheet position, as outlined on slide 15, is as always underpinned by land at historic low cost and with investment in our forward order book. At almost 780 million, our net asset position is after shareholder returns of more than 85 million up to December 2021. We are also in our balance sheet underpinned by substantial liquidity position of over 234 million at the end of December. Our debt to GAV ratio of just over 15% shows how strongly capitalized our balance sheet is to take advantage of the continued strong demand for our product. Our ongoing investment in work in progress, coupled with our track record and planning, gives us strong visibility into 2022 and beyond. Slide 16 shows the key components of our cash flow and debt movements. Our net debt decreased by 58.8 million in the period, notwithstanding land acquisition of circa 40 million and dividend payments of 20 million. We expect this strong cash generation to continue into the medium term as set out in our guidance. Turning to the near-term guidance on slide 17, all of our forecast completions for 2022 already have planning permission. This, coupled with the buoyant market conditions that we're seeing for our products across private house sales and in multifamily, as evidenced by the strength of our forward order book, gives us great confidence in our guidance. We are continuing to see very positive trends across all of the critical financial KPIs that underpin shareholder value creation. Starting with near-term guidance for 2022, we expect to deliver 1,500 unit closings, generating 600 million of revenue. In another strong statement and outlook, we also expect to achieve a gross margin of 21.5% for the year. Through a combination of efficiencies and the USPs that Michael has already spoken about across our land bank, apartment building capability, pricing and strategic supply chain management, we expect that this will translate to an operating profit of 100 million. The conversion of these revenues and operating profits will see our operating cash flow generation increase to 175 million for the year, giving us lots of strategic optionality to drive value for our shareholders. 2022 will see approximately returns of 115 million to shareholders through ordinary dividends and our 75 million buyback program. Turning to slide 18, we outline our strategy for driving balance sheet efficiency and ROE growth into the medium term. Michael has already outlined that we expect to generate 500 million of operating cash flow between 2022 and 2024. We anticipate strong operating cash generation in each of the 3 years in that timeline, as a result of the land bank and WIP monetization in both our apartment and housing portfolios. These indicative cash generation figures are before any capital allocation consideration and provide an extremely strong platform for significant returns to shareholders. Our capital and investment allocation methodology will be underpinned by a growth in return on equity to 15% by 2024. We intend to allocate this capital across shareholder returns primarily, as you can see by the 115 million return profile over 2022. Any opportunistic accretive strategic investments will be subject to a 15% hurdle rate on capital employed using IRR methodologies. Our return strategy is also underpinned by the commitment of annual dividends. The floor on these dividends will be at 40 million, and as profits grow over time, we expect the payout ratio to move between 40 and 50% of distributable profits. In a normal operating environment, that will provide our shareholders with a minimum of 120 million in dividend payments over the next 3 years. We outline some medium-term guidance out to 2024 in slide 19. We expect to deliver between 5,000 and 5,500 sales completions over the three-year period as our operating platform continues to scale. As stated on the previous slide, we are also committing today to a 15% return on equity metric by 2024. Finally, and as Michael has already outlined, we expect to generate 500 million of operating cash flow over the three-year period. I'll now hand back over to Michael to speak about the excellent work which we've been doing in the important area of sustainability.
Thank you, Shane. Thank you for that update. And moving you all now to slide 21, we want to provide an update on the excellent work we've been doing in the important area of sustainability. Our vision as a business is to lead the future of home building in Ireland by valuing our people, building responsibly and creating vibrant, sustainable communities. We will release our very first standalone sustainability report on April 4th, which will provide a comprehensive overview of how Cairn are leading sustainably across the three ESG verticals of environment, social and governance, and how we've aligned our sustainability strategy to these three pillars in our purpose, our people, our homes and our places. Ahead of the release of that report, we have published a preview fact sheet with key takeaways for buy and sell side analysts, investors and other stakeholders today. This is now available to view on our investor relations website, and we invite you to take a look at that at your convenience. I'm going to hand you over to Tara, our head of sustainability, and Tara will bring you through some of the key slides and detail of the great work we are doing, which demonstrates how sustainability is now firmly embedded in the day-to-day operations and culture of our business. Thanks, Tara.
Thanks, Michael, and good morning, everyone. On slide 22, our roadmap outlines our sustainability achievements, but for today, we'll focus on 2022 and beyond. Our approach to sustainability is both considered and responsible. It is fully embedded into our everyday work and the strong progressive culture we have established in Cairn. Over the next three slides, I'll take you through some of our specific governance, environmental and social initiatives. Firstly, on slide 23, our sustainability report will include significantly increased levels of disclosure across the three key reporting frameworks: the Value Reporting Initiative, or the SASB standards as it's better known, the Global Reporting Initiative, or GRI, and TCFD, the Task Force for Climate-Related Financial Disclosures. As you can see from the governance framework, sustainability has been fully integrated at strategic, management and operational levels within Cairn. In 2022, we are taking our commitments further by incorporating sustainability into our remuneration framework, demonstrating the importance we are placing on accountability for sustainability. We are introducing environmental metrics connected to our biodiversity strategy and social metrics connected to our customer and people strategies with a health and safety underpin. Slide 24 then looks at our environmental priorities in a little more detail. At Cairn, our success will be defined by the quality of the homes we build and the long-term impact of our actions on our customers and the communities in which we operate. Here we will focus on two of our most material topics, climate change and biodiversity. On climate change, we are now committed to setting targets in line with the Science-Based Targets Initiative criteria and we have measured our Scope 1 and Scope 2 emissions and are in the process of setting associated targets. We are also measuring our Scope 3 baseline and are conducting life cycle assessments of our homes to better understand their embedded carbon footprint and how we can reduce it. With biodiversity, and as I mentioned on the governance slide, we are incorporating biodiversity targets into our remuneration framework. We've adopted a biodiversity policy which will influence all stages of product delivery from site planning and detailed design through to our construction operations and customer aftercare. Through this policy, all Cairn developments from 2022 will be subject to an in-depth biodiversity impact assessment, and a site-specific biodiversity action plan will be developed in line with current best practice. Innovation is another way in which we will deliver on our commitment to the circular economy, and on the right-hand side of the slide you'll see some of the detail on the modern methods of construction we have already implemented, including our soil stabilisation strategy and light gauge steel use, which are prime examples of the significant difference we can make when we are innovative in our construction activities. Finally then, on slide 25, under the social pillar, two of our most important assets are our people and the communities we create through our placemaking agenda. You can see on the slide the importance we place on these areas, having rolled out a number of initiatives across health, wellbeing and diversity during the year, as well as our focus on creating places where people love to live through the rollout of several community initiatives, the legacy of which will last long after our work is done. I will now hand back to Michael, who will take you through our outlook.
Thanks a million, Tara. And as a wrap-up, we look into 2022 and beyond. Our economy is stronger than pre-pandemic levels, and we are continuing to operate in a market which remains significantly undersupplied. In 2022, we will deliver 1,500 home completions, 600 million in revenue and 100 million in operating profit, and an operating margin of 16.5%, which we will also return 115 million to our shareholders. We look to the medium term with regional expansion supporting our growth. Our ROE will grow to 15% in 2024, and we will generate 500 million in operating cash flow in this three-year period. Our strong financial performance, as I said earlier on, will allow us to reinvest strongly in our business and drive significant growth in delivery and cash generation. Thank you for your time this morning and continued support for our business. And I'm now going to hand you back over to Candice to start the Q&A session.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If for any reason you would like to remove your question, please press star followed by two. Again, to ask a question, please press star followed by one. As a reminder, if you are using a speakerphone, please remember to pick up your headset before asking your question. Our
Thanks,
first
Candice.
Question comes from the line of Shane Carberry of Goodbody. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Morning,
Hi,
Shane.
Hi, Shane. Your line is now open. Can you check that you're not on mute, please?
Morning, Shane.
Cairn call has dropped off. Cairn call has
dropped off.
We
can hear you, Shane.
Went to Q&A and just
Unfortunately, we're not getting any audio from your line, Shane. We're going to have to ask you to re-register your question. Our second question comes from the line of John Cobry. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Morning. Can you hear me okay?
Can.
I can hear you, Johnny. Good morning.
Great. Good news. Morning. Thanks for taking my question. A couple of questions from me, please. Actually, three, really. The first one is on the ASP within your starter home and trade-up. Trade down, which you've picked out and been broadly flat year on year. Be grateful to hear, you know, why you maybe didn't push that up a little bit more in the year. It seems like the market might have supported a bit more pricing increase there. And also with the 6% build cost inflation last year that you highlighted, how you managed to protect the margin there in terms of, you know, without increasing prices, but whether you had some build efficiencies or kind of what the drivers are there. And then the other question is on the environmental side. And clearly, you know, you're already performing well in terms of carbon metrics by only building A-rated homes. And there seems to be a strong focus on biodiversity now, which is something we've seen from the UK house builders. So be grateful if you could elaborate on kind of what biodiversity initiatives you're bringing in now. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Johnny. Hope you can hear me. Look, house builders, not just in the UK but also in Ireland, obviously, Johnny, we have a significant impact on the land we build on, but we also have a great opportunity. You talked a little bit earlier on about Clonburris. So we create places and communities and we take, you know, existing land that may not have residential development and we turn it into, we hope, vibrant communities and also, you know, appropriately, if we can, achieve net biodiversity gains. So we have adopted a new biodiversity policy, which includes, you know, all stages of our product delivery, our site planning, detailed design, operations, and indeed aftercare. So it's an area that we're, I think, appropriately focused on. And we want to minimize the impact and optimize opportunities for habitat creation, Johnny, across our schemes. We have a clear commitment in this area, as you know. Tara talked about some of our metrics and incorporating it into our remuneration framework. And we also mentioned today that our sustainability report will be released in a few weeks' time and provide a lot more granular detail on our biodiversity efforts. So we're really pleased with our progress in that area. On the ASP side, I think in the presentation, Johnny, we tried to detail out how diverse our product range is and the multiple markets we service. The trade-up down sector, which you referred to, was probably the one that suffered most post-Brexit and indeed during the health crisis. So we have seen price recovery in the mid and higher end of the market. We've also seen yield compression in the multifamily sector and probably increased revenues on our apartment schemes and margins, not just because yields might have compressed a wee bit, but also because we're a very efficient apartment builder, and we would have achieved planning gains as well in some of those apartment schemes that we're on. So that's all had a positive impact on our margin progression. We have a 17,000 unit land bank, Johnny, and you know, if you think about our forward order book at the moment, you know, we're going to deliver 5,000 to 5,500 homes over the next 3 years. So if the market continues to recover, we're reasonably confident that we can protect ourselves from the uncertain nature of build cost inflation. But it always has to be a primary objective for us in Ireland, particularly with the binding nature of our macroprudential rules and the loan-to-income ratio, that we can build homes at prices that our customers can get mortgage finance. So our starter home price point is a really important KPI for us. Does that answer the question, John?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks very much.
I was worried we dropped off again. Apologies to everybody if the quality of the line is not good.
Thank you.
Do we have another question, Candice?
Apologies, sir. Our next question comes from Colin Sheridan of Davy. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thanks, and good morning, guys. Congrats on a great set of results.
Thanks, Colin.
Morning, Colin.
Just a few from me, if I can. Just kicking off on the build cost inflation environment. I mean, a little bit surprised and very impressed to see the guidance of a slowdown there in relation to the level of build cost inflation to 4%. I mean, is it fair to think that maybe there's more internal Cairn-related drivers to that trend rather than a sort of general market slowdown in relation to build cost inflation more generally? Second one then on planning. I know it's something that you've brought up before. I just wonder if you've had any early interaction with the LRT system. You know, while I would imagine a lot of the heavy lifting for Cairn is behind you guys in relation to how much planning needs to be done, I wonder if you'd let us know maybe how many sites you'd ideally look be putting into that system over the course of this year. And then finally, just on the land deals, the new land deals that you've spoken about today, I mean, clearly you've flagged how substantial the land bank is, but just wonder how attractive was that opportunity that effectively got you buying land more recently. And I guess just to try and frame it, if you could, you know, give us an idea of whether, the margins on those sites would have been considerably less than, say, the margins that go through your P&L at the moment that obviously have been subject to you know, being bought at very advantageous points in time. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Colin. I'll chat a little bit about build cost inflation and maybe the planning system. Shane, do you want to talk a little bit about the margin impact and the IRR target on new acquisitions?
Yeah. Can do. Yeah. Do you want to go first, Michael, or do you want me to take that?
No, go ahead. If you like, you can take that, Shane, please. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Colin, I mean, as we good morning, first of all, as we were kind of talking in the presentation, our primary focus over the next number of years is going to be around driving returns for our shareholders as measured by return on equity. The vast bulk of the cash that we generate will go back to shareholders, but when strategic opportunities come along, we will absolutely take those. Michael spoke about the regional strategy and indeed the opportunity here across a portfolio of three very attractive locations in Shankill, Leixlip and Navan. They are all subject to an IRR lens calculation. So we look at things like asset turn, peak funding requirements, sales absorption rates versus the WIP that you put on the ground. And when we look at all that across those three locations, because, you know, the vast bulk would already have planning permission or is in planning, that was a very attractive opportunity for us in the context of the commitment that we've made to our shareholders to get that ROE up to 15% as quickly as we can.
Yeah, thanks, Shane. And I'd also probably reference, you know, that's a transaction that was an off-market transaction that we've been working on for quite some time. And, you know, we have certainly been really disciplined in the land market for the last 3 or 4 years. But we have to balance our portfolio. We have to look out for good opportunities. And I suppose it may be also reflective, Colin, of you know, how some companies may find it challenging to commence large-scale developments without maybe having built a significant scale. That company that we acquired, that are a very good, large construction company, multidisciplined, and do a lot of work in the commercial area and indeed build residential in places like Northern Ireland and have many interests in the UK as well. But we were very happy to partner with them and invest in the residential land that they owned in Ireland. So it'll be good, very good acquisition for us. The LRD system, to give you some sense of it, Colin, you know, we've got 12 applications currently outstanding, roughly about 4,000 units, I think. Many of them are schemes where, you know, in some cases trying to improve existing consents, they're not brand new applications. We also have a significant portion of our land bank through the planning system, but we also have very large sites like Clonburris and Cherrywood, which are in strategic development zones, and they effectively already have planning permission. So the risk is much lower for Cairn than the broader industry, probably just because of the head start we got and the amount of land we did get through the planning system. The LRD, you know, look, I have a broader concern because any significant change in a planning environment in a country that involves rewriting the Planning Act and then bringing a new system in, that will probably get tested in the courts. It's one of the reasons I called it out, Colin, earlier on as a challenge. All we can hope for, and I think we will see some of the good aspects of the Strategic Housing Directive system adopted in the new LRD system, and hopefully the more inclusive role for local authorities will lead to less challenges. But I fear that a very large proportion of those challenges that are being brought through the courts, we're probably heading for, you know, 40, 50,000 units stuck in our court system in Ireland. And they're not in court because they're inappropriately designed or they're in poor locations or they're bad developments. You know, I think there's other things that have influenced the journey of that number of badly needed homes and apartments being brought through the court system in Ireland. People obviously have to have access to that route, and it's really appropriate. But as I said, it's an extraordinary number now that will be stuck until certain appeals to Europe are resolved, and it will have an impact. I think we've seen a significant tick up this year in completions, which is probably, you know, a positive, if you could say that, you know, the overhang of new developments, Colin, that didn't start during the COVID period. but I fear it'll be a short-lived increase. Build cost inflation, how do we compare? I suppose, look, firstly, we have a very different model. We're very close to the manufacturers. How we operate with our subcontractors, manufacturers, and getting as close to source as we can, Colin, allows us to probably hedge a little bit better. We're 74% covered for this year on build cost investment, WIP investment, and 56% committed for next year. So we're in a decent space. That being said, it's important to note that, you know, there are a significant number of materials produced in the Ukraine and indeed Russia. Cold climates like the Nordics and places like Russia and the Ukraine produce a lot of timber, and it tends to be, because of cold, harsh winters, it tends to be exactly the type of timber, slow-growing timber, that's used in home building and construction. So we've already seen a bit of a spike in timber prices, also led by an increase in demand from places like the USA and China. Ukraine, what else? Big producers of synthetic resin, chemical fibers and chemical products. That impacts things like PVC, so adhesives, coatings, PVC pipes, primers, those sorts of things, Colin. They're not a massive component of the house builds, but they're still materials which will increase in price. Leaving out, obviously, the energy, the very obvious, you know, 10 million barrels of oil per day out of Russia, and how big a producer they are of natural gas. Any manufacturing process that's energy intensive is going to be impacted. So there are watch outs for us. We can only estimate at this stage where we see build cost inflation, and we've included that €10,000 increase this year in our numbers, which we think at this stage should have ourselves reasonably well covered.
Just to say, add to that, Michael, obviously when we look at the build cost percentage that we quote, we're quoting it against the total build cost. You know, hard build costs as a percentage of our overall cost stack are a little over just 60% overall, and that's where the cost exposure comes, because as you know, we're well procured on land, and soft build costs in Ireland tend to be higher as a percentage than in other jurisdictions due to things like VAT and levies and things like that. So the rough rule of thumb is that the hard cost exposure vis-a-vis relevance to the revenue is roughly about 50% overall. So notwithstanding, we'll keep a very close eye on DCI. We're pretty decently forward sold, and we're pretty well forward procured. So we've got a decent hedge, natural hedge there, we think, around all that as well.
Very clear, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, it is star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Shane Cadbury of Goodbody. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hopefully you can hear me now, folks. Apologies, my line chopped off earlier.
We can, Shane.
Good morning, Shane. Good morning.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. Just two from me, if I may. First of all, just in terms of the medium-term volume guidance, I guess essentially by 2024, it essentially means you've doubled volumes from kind of the 1,100 delivered in 2021. Can you just talk us through kind of some of the building blocks in terms of that significant ramp-up? And then in particular, I suppose, you know, the lower and the upper and lower bound of the guided range you've given, what kind of gets you to one end versus the other? Is it that kind of planning environments that you discussed, Michael, or a little bit more colour there would be helpful? And then secondly, and maybe it's more so one for Tara, just on climate risk, I suppose the Climate Act has committed Ireland to about a 55% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2030, so you're looking at equivalent to kind of 7% reduction per annum. Can you kind of talk us through, I suppose, what Cairn are doing to support this initiative?
Tara's just going to jump in first, if that's okay, Shane. Thanks, Tara.
Yeah,
hi, Shane. Thanks for the question. Look, I think being part of Ireland's solution on climate change is a major priority for us here in Cairn. And, you know, we've significantly increased our team, our resourcing and capabilities. We've established an ESG reporting and research team who are very much supporting our on-site teams and the broader operations. Critically, I guess, from this year, we have formally committed to the Science Based Targets Initiative, which, as you'll be aware, is the industry-leading carbon reduction standard. So that's a big step for us. We're currently in the process of setting our Scope 1 and Scope 2 targets, and are in the process of calculating our Scope 3 baseline. And we've taken an additional step just there with respect to undertaking life cycle assessments of our homes to fully understand their embedded carbon footprint over their lifespan. We also have a range of energy and carbon-saving actions and initiatives underway to achieve those targets. And I mentioned some of those examples in the presentation earlier. You know, we have FSC-certified timber frames, life-gauge steel, which dramatically reduces the requirement for structural concrete. And, you know, we use air source heat pumps now as standard in all of our homes, which eliminates the reliance on fossil fuels. So plenty of progress in that space to try and help Ireland in its cause to, with that reduction target that has been set for 2030.
Thanks, Tara. I suppose I look at the kind of growth rate a little bit differently, Shane, and you know, understand your question. I suppose the first thing, you know, the range of 5,000 to 5,500 units that we've talked about today, I suppose we just wanted to confirm that, I suppose what current consensus is probably about 5,300 units for that period. We just wanted to let everybody know that we're comfortable. We're very comfortable with that, with where that level is. We are already as a business building and will build this year significantly in excess of the 1,500 units that we will, I suppose, fully complete and hand over to customers. If you kind of go back to slide 5, I suppose, and it's why we included it in the deck. The way I think about our business is really we did 1,080 units in 2019. So our journey to 2000 is really a 2019 to 2024 journey, or 2023-24, because obviously next year and the year after we will be in or around that 2000 number. So it hasn't been that kind of steep curve, I suppose, Shane, probably impacted by, obviously impacted by the COVID period. So not as big a step up for us as it might appear on the numbers that you just called out there. And I suppose, to be fair, supported, as we covered as well, Shane, by an expansion into other regions in Ireland, which we feel we've done in a very considered way.
Very clear. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Shane.
Thank you. There are no more questions registered at this time, so I will hand the call back over to management team for closing remarks.
Okay, Candice, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And I really hope that the disruption to the line didn't cause too many problems. Wish you a very pleasant day, and thank you again. Bye-bye. Thanks, Candice, for your help.